Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Once Upon a High School's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, Brittany, and Laura. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
And we are going to discuss the latest episode of Once Upon a Time, which we saw the end of the Shattered Sight Curse, which was really interesting, and kind of the end of the Snow Queen, which, again, we'll talk about that because I'm not sure how I feel about her demise. But first off, let's get started with a thumbs up, thumbs down rating. Karen, do you want to start? Was this a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you?
I'm going to go thumbs up. Wasn't the best episode ever, and yeah, I kind of have some issues with the way that it ended, but overall, I think it was a pretty fun episode. There were some moments that were absolutely hilarious that I really liked, and I actually really enjoyed all of Emma's flashback parts, so I was really happy to see that in there as well. So thumbs up, but not one of my favorites.
Not enthusiastically.
No.
All right, Kristen, how about you?
Yeah, mine's a thumb sideways toward the upside. Like, I enjoyed the episode, but again, it was not one of my favorites, and there were some things that didn't sit quite right with me either, so I'm in the middle, but it's not a thumbs down, for sure.
Brittany?
I'm a thumbs up, as opposed to last week, thumbs down. I liked it. I thought the humor was really good. And I too had issues with how quickly it ended. That was just, we'll get to it, but it was ridiculous. It was like, oh, it's mid-season. We got to get going. So just wrap it up in 5 minutes.
Put that little bell on it, you know?
Yeah. I think this episode would have served better as the 2-hour episode as opposed to like 2 weeks ago. But
yeah. Whatever.
I'm still thumbs up.
Okay. Laura?
I think I totally agree with what Brittany just said about how this would have been the much better 2-hour episode. I would say I am mostly a thumbs up. I'm sort of, it's like a waffling thumb. It's more up than it is sideways. But yeah, same thing. I liked a lot of it, but there were some Snow Queen issues that I had, which probably is the same thing we all had. But mostly a thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I'm kind of like in the middle, leaning towards up, because there were moments that were just amazing, like all the different fights and stuff were so fantastic, but at the same time I did have some like plot issues, so I guess we'll get into all of those lovely things in just a moment. But let's talk about some of our favorite quotes. My quote is a little bit long, but I absolutely loved it, and it's from Mary Margaret, and she says, "You know what, Swiss Miss, you do know me. I pick flowers, I talk to birds, I do all kinds of warm fuzzy things. You know what else? I kill. Yeah, that's right. Snow White's a murderer. I killed the Evil Queen's mommy, and I said I was sorry, and I didn't mean it." I was just like, oh, wow. Wow, that's way to go, Mary Margaret.
If you hadn't chosen that one, I was going to, because she was so, like, chilling. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, there's, you know, brutal Snow that we haven't seen in a while. Like, she's been very happy-go-lucky. I loved that part.
There was so much about Snow when she was, like, under the curse that was fantastic. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Kristen, what was yours?
Mine is when Hook was talking with Rumple, and he looks at him and he says, "You won't win. Villains never do." And the reason that I love this quote so much is because it shows that Hook doesn't see himself as a villain anymore. Like, Regina, like, knows that she's working toward the light side, but she still would identify herself as a reformed villain rather than a hero. Whereas I think Hook sees himself as a hero now. And he sees himself as being on the side that would win in this scenario, which just makes me really, really happy. And it made me like this episode more because of Hook's character growth. So that's why I love it.
I like that. I also like that it's something that Regina always says, but in this case, it's kind of reversed. It's being used against someone else, which I think is good. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Karen, how about yours?
Mine was when Emma was like, "You know, I'm the savior, like, you know, just leave it to me, I'll get things done." And Anna just goes, "Is that like a real job here?" And it was just so funny.
Very true. And Laura?
I just, Regina just cracked me up when she's down in the vault and she sees herself in the mirror and just the way she throws her hands up in the air and goes, "What am I wearing?" And then she just changes her outfit into her whole evil queen getup. That totally cracked me up.
Loved it too, because like she has been having such high waisted pant issues this season, and it just like was perfect.
Well, not only that, but she like says it again at the end when she's in her evil queen getup.
Yes.
Yes.
Like that was my favorite one. Yes.
Yeah, me too. Because then they all laugh hysterically.
It's so true. The fact that it just comes full circle, and she just, because I don't know that she would have had the ability to laugh at herself otherwise, and I just think it was just a great moment. It's like, what am I wearing? So yeah, I loved it. Regina commenting on Regina fashion,
it's fantastic. And who's up? Brittany, what was yours?
It was when Hook goes to pick up Henry, and like Henry's throwing all these things at him, and Henry says something to the effect of like, "And I don't like that you and my mom are together," and like, and Hook like doesn't miss a beat, and he's like, "Emma used that word, together." And I just, and he had that cute little like nose crinkle. I may have been staring at the gif of it for like the past 24 hours. So.
Wow.
As you do. As
Tumblr.
You do.
Step away from Tumblr.
I had it in a tab for a while, and I finally had to close it. I'm like, all right, Britt, this is getting sad.
You need an intervention. It's going to be okay. All right. So basically this episode starts off with everyone preparing to deal with the spell of Shattered Sight, and within the first 5 minutes, everyone is pretty much at each other's throat. So we'll go through some of the best kind of verbal sparring matches / fights that came out of this lovely segment. So we have Snow and Charming, and at first they're like, "Nothing can separate two halves of the same heart."
That's what you think.
Oh my gosh.
I love how that was like the most moving line last week, and tonight it's like just so highfalutin, so, and like not emotional anymore.
Yeah, God, that was funny. And then so those two just start like screaming at each other. There's the moment where she's like, "I just wish I had a poison apple to put me out of my misery."
And like, I love that Kristoff was like, "No, me, pick me."
I loved it. It was so, you know what? It was so funny. I was wondering if they ad-libbed any of that or if it was all written, because it just felt like it was so like genuine and off the cuff and over the top. I mean, in the best way possible. I was just curious if they said to the actors, "Okay, scenario and go," because it almost felt like an acting lesson run amok. I don't know, but I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
I loved that they fought about swaddling the baby, and she's like, she's not a breakfast burrito. Like, seriously, one of my favorite parts. I was like, of course they would fight about that. Of course they would.
The best part, though, was when she's like, "I can't believe I had a child with you," and he's like, "I don't know, maybe it's whales."
Yes. Oh my gosh, I died laughing at that. That was so funny.
Or during like the physical fight where they're like, Regina literally has a sword to Mary Margaret's throat. And if she like falls over and hits the stroller, and David's like, hey, be careful, that's not under warranty anymore. And Snow's like, "You said you bought that new."
No, not for the baby that's in the stroller, mind you.
Yeah, watch out for the stroller. Yeah. Such the best. It was like, to me, that was like, actually, I feel like the highlight of the episode for me was just watching the crap that went down in the sheriff's office. It was like, I didn't know where to look first. It was just so much fun. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I don't care about anybody else fighting. Like, let's watch David and Mary Margaret go at it some more, because it was just, for me, it was hilarious. So.
Well, and then we have David like snipping at Kristoff, and he's like, "You live in Arendelle. It's frozen. Who sells ice in a frozen place?" Which is very true. I think we all asked that question when we watched the movie. So, like, that whole... And so we have Snow and Regina, who Regina, like, unlocks the gates and lets it open, and it's violent. Like, there are swords. There's, like, the promise of no magic, because Regina says she'll take her on anyway. And so, like, it's crazy town, those two. That physical combat between those two is insane.
That's actually my favorite one was between Snow and Regina, because they know each other's dirty little secrets and they know exactly which buttons to push. And they've been so good with each other recently that it was nice to see, you know, the claws come out again. And Regina, you know, the evil queen, the over the top evil queen, because I think this was even like a new over the top for her.
Oh my gosh.
So she was like crazy town.
Yes.
Well, even the way she moved and spoke, and it was just very overdone. And I think, you know, that was just to sort of show us how crazy she was. But yeah, the two of them going at each other was perfect.
Right. Well, that and like just the verb. I mean, I was really scared for a minute there that like one of them was going to get impaled on something and die. Like I was slightly concerned that one of them was going to get very seriously injured there for a second. But I think my favorite part of it is when it was like just before they get cured of it. And, you know, they're totally at each other. And Regina's like, and you said you would keep a secret and you didn't. And Mary Margaret's going, I was 10. And
I love that too.
I love that. I was like, I just felt like the whole time of like Regina resenting her, like going back. I mean, they haven't really played that plot line for a while, but I was like, she's a kid. And I just love that Mary Margaret finally got to scream, I was 10. I thought that was just a great thing. I wish we could have watched like the extended version of that, because it was great.
And I think the funniest part of the sheriff's office is that you have little Anna going, no, guys, no, you don't mean that. Come on, you can fight it, in her little cheery chipper voice. And you're like, oh, honey, this is a losing battle.
She's holding the baby alternatively. Yeah. You know what was actually kind of remarkable? Now, I don't remember if they mentioned this the week before, but did they purposefully lock up all the guns and ammunitions in the sheriff's office? Because, like, were there no weapons available in there?
Only the swords.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and what's his name? Sneezy had a crossbow, apparently.
Yeah,
Granny
had a crossbow or a gun, yeah.
Yeah, Granny, I think Granny had the crossbow and then he stole it from her. That's what I assumed.
People, like, extras that were running around with crossbows, to the point that I was wondering if they, like, knocked over Robin's, like, stronghold and took the crossbows. You know, I was really wondering.
And then, so moving from Snow Regina, we had the Kristoff and Anna fight, which was kind of interesting because he's really mad that their wedding got put off.
I felt like it was more sad than funny. I was like, oh man, this guy has been like just dragged around.
The best part of their fight is her knocking him over the head and then talking to herself about it. Like, I'm sorry. Oh yeah, you can't answer. Okay, well, I'll be back. Stay here. Yeah, you will. Okay, I'll be back. Like, that was my favorite part.
It's so much like movie Anna. I cannot get over it. Did such a good job with her.
Was anybody else? I was like slightly concerned that the tide was going to come in and he was going to drown.
I didn't think about that.
I was just like, could we drag him up the beach a little bit?
And did they ever go get him? Because in the final scenes, he's not there. Is he?
I don't think so.
Like when they're walking through the snow, I feel like he wasn't there.
She'll remember in the beginning of the next episode. It'll be fine.
Okay, he'll get there.
Well, clearly some time has passed. If for no other reason, Regina changes her clothes before the end scene. Because I was really hoping that she would go. I was actually kind of hoping that Henry would get to meet her and the Evil Queen get up. And she didn't, because that could have been fun. But no.
That would have been awesome. Oh my god.
Mom, what is that?
Yeah, like, what are you wearing? Oh my gosh. I want that now. In my brain now, I want that to happen.
Yeah, seriously.
As we mentioned, we had Grumpy and Sneezy also, like, in the middle of the street, like, full-on, like, wrestling, and it was crazy sauce. We also had Granny out there. I'm not sure who she was mad at, but she was fighting with a little old man, and at the end, they were, like, hugging it out. So
yeah,
that was
that? Was that one of the dwarves, or...
think so.
I felt like all the dwarves were just like scattered on the street and people taking pot shots at the dwarves.
Yeah, I think Doc and Dopey were arguing with each other and Grumpy and Sneezy were arguing with each other.
That one was like, don't you dare sneeze on me.
Yeah, and then Doc was like, was it Doc? I think it was Doc yelling at Dopey. He's like, why don't you ever talk? You don't say anything.
The only thing that I missed, and it's not just because I love Robin Hood, but it is because I love Robin Hood. I really would have been curious to see like Robin Hood, like screaming at Will Scarlet or something like that. Like it didn't have to be with Regina. And obviously that would have ended very badly if he had encountered Regina, but I would have loved to see Robin getting into it with Will or something like that. I really kind of miss there not being a Robin Hood confrontation in there. I mean, it was just kind of weird that, you know, Will then randomly encounters Hook before he goes down for the count. But I would have really liked, I don't know, a couple more like people. I would, or like bring in like Whale, or I don't know, or like what's his name, Archie. I mean, who in the world could Archie be mad at? I mean, that would be hilarious, wouldn't it? Watching the town psychiatrist just go like postal, that would be hilarious.
Well, he could be mad at Regina. He could be mad at any number of people.
Yeah,
it would have been really sad to see him like yelling at Henry, because he had, you know, he was pretty close to Henry, and I assume that he probably has some deep feelings about that. Can we just point out for one second that when Hook socked Will, there was literal crickets chirping afterwards. So good.
Well, he doesn't even hit him, because I had to go back and look at that. He like Will goes to hit him, and Hook just steps aside, and he goes to the wall.
And then crickets.
Yeah.
Oh man. So Will and Hook fight, and I'm not really sure why Will goes and seeks out Hook, except, well, it's screen time for Michael Soka. But I don't know. Like, do you guys, was there something I missed with that?
He said he was mad from when Hook clocked him.
Right, yeah, but, like, he had to, like, go in and seek Hook out.
Yeah.
Because he was outside, like, stealing people's stuff.
Yeah, but then you just saw him walk by him and go into the...
Oh, was so that? Okay, I'm like, did I... Him. That must have been what I missed, because I was like, I'm so confused. Why did he, like, go inside? All right, well, that's good to know. And then, lastly, we have Henry and Hook. And this is when Hook goes to retrieve Henry for Rumple. And now, clearly, Hook is not under the spell. And Henry is, even though he was locked away. I'm not really sure how that works. Because Belle's locked away, but she wasn't infected. So Henry starts saying some pretty mean-spirited things to Hook about how he doesn't want him with his mom and all this other stuff. And that's where the together line comes from. And my question is Henry going to remember that Hook tried to get him to leave?
Well, I don't know if they actually... Do they remember exactly what they said? That was something I was trying to figure out.
Some parts of them, it seemed like they did.
Yeah,
because Mary Margaret and Charming apologized to each other.
Yeah, and that's why it made me wonder if they remembered exactly what happened, or they knew that something had happened.
I feel like...
Because Regina also didn't remember that when she looked down, she was wondering how she got in her outfit.
Well, yeah, I know, but at the same time, there were things that they clearly remembered through conversations, you could tell. So I don't know. That wasn't very clear. So that was one of my questions around this, was that what happens if Henry remembers and rats Hook out or tells Emma? Like, are they going to figure out that Hook's involved somehow in a not great way?
Well, that'll be kind of a relief, to tell you the truth, because I just sort of want it out there. But even if Henry remembers that Hook wanted to take him away, I don't know if he'll necessarily put two and two together, if he'll know why, if he'll realize that Hook wasn't under the spell, or if maybe, like, it was a trick of the spell, he thinks, and, you know, this was Hook's way of, like, getting back at him or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I would just be really curious to see how that plays out, or if it even comes back up again.
Or if Hook would play it off as, like, well, I was under the spell too, and, you know... you basically are the only one competing with me for Emma's affection or something. You know what I mean? Like, I could see him trying to play it off, but that would be the only other way for him to kind of get out of it if that was a problem.
Yeah, I would just be really curious to see how it works itself out. Because, again, that kind of leaves this question mark there. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Rumple's plan. He wants Hook to go get Henry. And his plan is to take Henry and to take Sleeping Beauty Belle and leave Storybrooke while the curse is going on. And he's going to go to New York. And he's going to separate himself from the dagger. He gets to retain his power. And he promises Hook that nothing will happen to those in Storybrooke, but the rest of the world should watch out.
But why New York? I'm so confused. The world is so big. Why are we going to New York?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
Like, maybe he has his magic go to Paris. Fast. Like, maybe.
Maybe. On a beach somewhere.
It's also maybe cheaper. He wants to go to, like, Neil's apartment. Does he still have an apartment in New York that's, like, abandoned?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so strange, though. It really is.
That's all I kept thinking was, why New York, of all places? I'm like, that is the last place people are going to take you seriously for what you're threatening to do.
What I couldn't stop thinking about was, like, hello, aren't you learning your lesson here that you can't force people's love on you and that taking people away from their loved ones isn't going to end up well for you? I mean, this is literally what the Snow Queen has been doing all season long. And Rumple's just like, yeah, this sounds like a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. I don't think his plan is very clear. And that's part of it. I think whatever his hidden agenda is, because it's more than just separating himself from the dagger.
Yeah, like he hasn't explained it fully. Like that's, yeah, it's like we haven't gotten the whole picture of it. Like is we and how it involves Henry and Belle, like it's like he's going to remove their memories and they're going to live happily ever after in New York where he's the most powerful human being ever. Like I'm not sure what his master plan is.
Well, and this is definitely the first time we heard anything about the stars aligning with the stars in the hat. And he's always coming up with one more thing for Hook to do. Like, he always right. says, like, now you can go off, but then he'll call him back and have one more thing he needs done. So I really do think Rumple is kind of making this up as he goes along.
Yeah, and the stars in the hat was so frustrating. I was like, why wasn't that planted earlier?
Yeah, I thought
like,
so, too.
It
I was
felt
like,
so
that
random.
Really... really odd to throw that in like a throwaway and have it be like an important part of this whole magic.
It would have given
you know,
like a timeline, you know what I mean? Like we could have
right,
been waiting
yeah.
for this, like you could have just gone a shot to the sky and did more CGI magic, you know, and been like, oh, they're right. getting closer, like Hercules or something, or the planets line.
Yeah, it's a very odd, like his whole plan is very odd. And then he keeps telling Hook it's going to be his last day to live. And we haven't quite come to his last day yet. And we better not, because I'm not going to be happy if we do. Anyway.
Pretty much.
There might be a revolt on next week's episode. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of works itself out. Because without his plan being clear, I don't know what the setup for the second half of the season is going to be. Except that
right.
we have the lady villains all coming in to like...
So excited for that.
Which, visually, they looked really cool.
Oh
I have to say,
God.
Yeah,
really
visual
did.
Alone looked really, really cool.
Especially Cruella.
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't think it will be so married. Like, I felt like the whole Frozen storyline was, like, painstakingly married to part of the movie, which I didn't see. So I was felt like I was missing content. My husband, who watches Once Upon a Time pretty willingly with me, like had stopped watching it. And he's like, is the Frozen commercial over now? So I think it's going to be interesting to see if maybe there were some people who got turned off by the whole Frozen thing. And maybe now they'll come back with this new, you know, new sequence coming in.
So do you guys think that when Rumple says he's going to go to New York and it's the rest of the world that needs to be worried about him? That he's talking about the other villains because he wants their power. He can take their power with the hat.
Hmm. That's a pretty good theory.
That's not bad. Or yeah, I mean, it's also like, how does he get them there? Like, how does he accidentally do that?
I don't know. He works out of New York. It's like his home base. I have no idea. But like, do you know what I mean? Cause like Ursula, Cruella de Vil, who is the other one?
Maleficent.
So, I mean, that's quite the powerful bunch. I mean, Cruella's not really powerful, per se, but...
She's creepy, though. She kills puppies.
Yes.
I mean, she's
Did you guys notice the Dalmatian that Emma pulled out when she was
Yeah, I am not looking forward to the whole second half of, I told Karen this, like, spelling the word Dalmatian for the whole second half of the season, because
the new Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, it's the new Rumpelstiltskin. I just could not spell it for the life of me yesterday.
Or Cruella de Vil. I mean, let's face
it. Oh, I got that one down.
You're good with that one? Okay.
Yeah, Ursula, though, U and E, it's rough.
All right, so back to this episode before we get super off task. So there are a couple more exciting things that happened. First of all, once we have Rumpel's plan in place and we kind of know what's going on with him, and we see Hook go off to do his bidding and the possible death of Hook on the horizon, we then have Emma and Elsa, who basically run around Storybrooke trying to figure out a way to get rid of the yellow ribbons, because they discover that they can't do anything to the Snow Queen because they're bound together, so they can't harm each other because of the yellow ribbons. So Emma decides that, well, if it's love and it's so powerful that keeps it together, the opposite of that is hate and revenge, and who better to use to break these ribbons off her wrists than Regina?
I thought this was the most brilliantly written part, without a doubt. This is that was brilliant, especially when Emma walks in and she's like been holding this trump card in her back pocket for like a really long time.
I was really afraid you were going to say this was the worst part, and I was like, no, I thought this was great. They did it so well.
I think it was the best part of the whole episode.
Yes, because it also allowed Regina to leave, and then so she could go fight with Snow, which was so good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I loved it too.
So I thought it was pretty funny that Emma thinks it's a great idea to go in and, like, wind Regina up about how she purposely brought Marion back, and she knew that would break up Robin and Regina. It was a little intense, I'm not going to lie.
But the ribbons watch off. Emma and Hook be happy.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Don't forget that. Awesome. That's
like, Chet, come on. You're missing the point here. excuse me. So I think that was really funny. And I like that it set kind of the crazy Regina on the loose at that point in time. And just, she was all riled up. So from there, they kind of go in search of how to get rid of Ingrid, and what it comes down to is they show up at her, you know, ice palace, and Ingrid says, I'm going to give you back your memories, and she has the two rocks, and she starts to show them memories. So we get to see Emma with Ingrid when she was a teenager, basically after she made that video with the other girl, and kind of like the house she lived in and stuff. So it was kind of interesting to see teen Emma and Ingrid kind of bond and, like, really have a relationship. But Ingrid pushes it too far because she wants Emma to prove her power. She wants to show Emma that she's magic. And Emma's not ready for that. And that basically is what destroys them the first time. Because really, I think Ingrid could have had Emma as a daughter had she not done that. What do you guys think?
I definitely think that she could have. I really loved this part, and it kind of weirds me out because I really, really liked Ingrid during this. She was actually kind of not crazy, and I think the crazy was sort of just under the surface, but she genuinely cares about Emma, and I think maybe the fact that she had to wait so long for Emma to grow up and for them to come back together, like, that's when she kind of went a little nuts, but I love the way that she told Emma to, you know, scare the kid that was bullying her, and maybe that'll get him off her back. And just the little things that she did to make Emma feel loved and comfortable was really nice to see. And then you start to see the crazy come out, and she's like, hey, let's jump in front of a car.
Yeah. And I think that all of the flashbacks together were awesome. Like, I thought that Ingrid was so I said this today, like, in the deleted scene post, like, she was so resourceful for, like, someone just, like, randomly popping up in Boston in, like, her, you know, outfit. She, like, set up, like, a foster home, and she got a job and got the house. I mean, I'm sure, like, there was some other elements involved, but then she showed up at Storybrooke. She was able to, like, in that scene, I think it was Dopey that she, like, had tied up and, like, got all the information so she could fool Regina. And she was just she's really smart and really determined.
Very, very true. All right. So from the lovely flashback scenes, we move into kind of the demise of the Snow Queen, which is so, like, weird. First of all, we have Regina sends Kristoff and Anna back to where they came from. And was anyone else a little concerned that they got sent back to Arendelle?
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
That's a little anticlimactic.
Like, what's happening?
Right. Yeah.
I was like, that can't be the end. No, 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 no.
Yeah. So, nope. Only back to the beach, which was kind of weird. And convenient, because then Anna gets to find the bottle. Smack Kristoff over the head with it, because he's determined to swim back to Arendelle. As you do. Whatevs. And then she finds a very long note that her mother penned. So Elsa and Emma are dealing with the Snow Queen, and the Snow Queen's like, you won't hurt me. And then she's like, but wait, where are your ribbons? And she got a little nervous. And then she tries to give them back their memories, and Emma and Elsa are having a really hard time coming to terms with the fact that they would have to kill the Snow Queen in order to make the spell stop, in order to save Storybrooke. And then Anna comes busting in Anna style, and reads the letter to Ingrid. And Ingrid doesn't believe her. In fact, Ingrid starts to choke her when she starts talking about the letter. And the letter is from their mom, and she starts to tell them about her sisters that, you know, that the others didn't know they exist. And in the note is the crystal with basically everyone in Arendelle's memory of Ingrid and Gerda. Was that her name?
Yeah.
And so the Snow Queen, interestingly, and this was the part I had the most trouble with, decides that that's okay. She was loved, and so in order to stop the spell, she takes it back into herself and then basically kills herself.
She lets it go.
All okay
she
with that.
She lets it go.
Ouch. Oh no.
Had to get one more in there, right?
Just one more. I mean, I'm running out of frozen puns to make.
I have one to more say episode.
The whole next week is just going to be frozen puns.
I have to say, though, that the best thing that I've seen on Tumblr is people using the gif from The Grinch where he's rolling around in the snow and he goes, help me, I'm feeling. And it's pretty much exactly what happened to the Snow Queen.
Yeah, one of my biggest problems with this scene was not the fact that, like, it wrapped up everything within 5 seconds and very conveniently, but the fact that Gerda could compose such a beautifully written letter as her ship is going down.
Right. It was lengthy, yeah. And like, it's meant to stick the crystal in there, too, because she
also, like, little Play-Doh rocks. They're, like, so weird. They're, like, little purple blobs.
I know.
The prop department got lazy.
It was, the prop department got lazy. I don't know, I thought the whole, the Snow Queen offs herself was kind of a cop-out. Like,
it didn't feel redeeming at all, because she was so whiny, like, that's just how she was as a character, and for her to go out like that, it felt, like, unearned, I don't know.
Yeah, and it was just, I don't know, it felt very abrupt as well. Like, there wasn't enough to it, I don't think. Like, we didn't. It's like she's like telling her story as she's taking the shards in. Like, it was a weird, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that I was stuck on. And not only that, she couldn't take the time to warn them about Rumpelstiltskin. Come on, lady. You know he's got the hat.
Right.
She's laying herself scared.
I also couldn't figure out why she just, like, released Anna. Like, she starts, like, choking her and then just out of nowhere releases her. It nothing had happened to stop her. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, I have no idea why she's just letting her go all of a sudden. Like, she was mad at her, and she was trying to hurt her, and then just, like, poof.
Yeah, it just, that was my problem with the whole thing, is that it just was so, so fast, and it just, I mean, we went from, I hate you, to, oh, maybe this is fine, and oh, I am loved, I need to fix this, and the best way to do this is suicide through curse. I mean, it happened in, like, under 5 minutes. I was,
yeah,
like,
and then you have
really?
Emma, who was just standing there being like, I'll kill her if you won't, Elsa, and then she's like, no, we can be a family. I'm like, no!
What? I don't, well, and in the and while she was feeling all sorts of guilty, as you said, she couldn't have just info-dumped what happened with Rumpel. I was like, everything else was happening so fast.
Hans, you know, should have showed up and been like, guys, Rumpel's got a hat.
Well, I just feel like that in order to protect them, she needed to tell them. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they were her sisters and she loved them and she wanted them to be family, you protect your family. And if you're leaving and you're the only one that knows how dangerous Rumpelstiltskin is, why do you not tell them?
Especially, even if, as an aside, like, oh, by the way, Rumpel's up to something. Like, even just that would have tipped them off.
Like, cut short and she just said his name. Just to put the suspicion there. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like Emma's going to be blindsided by this business. And it's not going to end well for anyone. I don't know. I wish she would have, like, mentioned something in passing. So I guess we'll see. All right, and the last thing that we have on our list is the creepily sleeping Belle, because what the heck?
Yeah, because I feel like the curse got to her. It wasn't because, like, I mean, it got to Regina in the vault. It had to have gotten to Belle, but I feel like Rumpel put some sort of sleeping curse on her or something. Because she's, like, downstairs, too. It's, like, in the like, front of the shop. I felt maybe I remember it wrong, but she's just creepily there. Like, I think Rumpel's going to throw her over his shoulder and head out of town.
Well, that seems to be his plan. He's going to take Henry with him. So, like, I wish we had more details about his plan. It's all very odd. And I'm a little worried for Belle. Like, seriously? Like, I'm telling very concerned.
In that preview, like, toward the end, you see someone, like, a hooded figure grab her, and it just makes me think that her possibly dying at Rumpel's hand could be how this midseason ends, and I would be sad to see it, because I really do like Belle, but I can see that being, like, the thing that kind of puts Rumpel over the edge, and, you know, he just absolutely can't come back.
You know, this is a testament to how much I hate this story arc for him right now, is even though I love Belle, I would be happy to see her die if that meant that Rumpel was evil and that they could just kill him without any guilty conscience. I'm just so done with him.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
I'm sure they want us to be able to... What I thought was interesting is, as we say, Wemple's very convoluted in what he's doing, but I felt like there were like echoes of what his motivation was sort of the same thing that the Snow Queen was saying. Like, he almost sort of wants a family. He almost sort of wants to be loved by his family. And I don't know if they want us to feel like then he's redeemable. And there was the whole message coming out of Anna's mouth about how, you know, no matter what, you never give up on your family. And I'm just curious if they're going to try to somehow spin it for Rumpel to be redeemable. I'm having a really hard time.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I'm just curious if that's maybe where they're going to go with this. But I'm just having a really, really hard time to forgive Rumpel for everything that he's doing. It just, I don't know. And I'm if they're going to play that card, I think a lot of audience members are going to have a hard time with it too.
Unless we find out that Rumpel's been brainwashed by the sorcerer into working his magic for him, I will not forgive Rumpel for the things he's done. There's nothing you can do to make me forgive him for what he's done this season so far.
I mean, right. Belle is a saint, and once she learns how much he has manipulated her, I don't even think she could still love him the way that she used to.
Yeah. I mean, and like we said, I mean, Belle is not without her own faults, but I think you're absolutely right. There's a level of, you know, maybe, not, you know, nobody is perfect, but I don't think Belle ever did anything to anybody out of sheer and utter malice. And I feel like that has been Rumpel's constant motivation this season, is I want what I want. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care if you get screwed over. I'm walking over you. And I don't think that is a consistent choice that Belle makes, whereas that is absolutely Rumpel's consistent choice, is I don't care who it hurts. I want what I want.
Yeah, he's just been so, I don't know, it's just not been good. He's so unlikable. Like, there's nothing.
It's just not even at a point where you can love to hate him. It's just,
right,
you hate him.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I don't look forward to, like, hating him.
No. No, not at all. So I don't know. Maybe the cloaked figure is one of the villainesses we just saw in the preview.
Which could be, yeah.
I'm so excited, but so confused. I don't know what they're doing there.
I don't know, because it's three of them, so it's not like...
And there's, like, a history with Ursula there. Like, she, like, doesn't come to a physical being, you know? So I'm, like, confused as to how that's going to work. And Maleficent, I thought, was, like, dead, but
I know, I thought she was, too. Is it the same actress playing Maleficent, or a new one?
Yeah, it's the same actress.
Oh, was it? Okay. I couldn't tell. The promo was so quick. But I almost wonder if they know that he has the sorcerer's hat, and now they're going to steal Belle. To kind of be like, no, 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 buddy. Like, we want the hat. Because the hat is all very powerful. Do you know what I mean? And and some of them have power, so...
Yeah, because if someone's stealing Belle, it's to get to Rumple. There's really no other reason for someone to steal Belle. So it has to be something like that.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because it was a photo from a set... thing, and it's probably a spoiler that I shouldn't say. But okay. I know, Jen, you don't like to know ahead of time, so I'll...
It's okay, and you can tell me later, because in this one case, I'm kind of curious, because I'm just like, are we close? Maybe.
Yeah.
Excellent, I love it when I'm right. Anyway, so does anyone have anything else? Oh, I know. Brittany has some lovely deliciousness to share with us about maybe a hot cocoa recipe for all of those. Because we are all like either in New England or in the Northeast. And right now, if you guys are aware, like it's frigid.
So there's a nor'easter coming this week.
It's ridiculous.
And there's going to be snow here tomorrow. I don't know if you guys are getting snow. I'm getting snow. I'm not happy. So Brittany has a delicious recipe to share with all of you who may want to stay warm over the next week or so.
Oh, well, I do 3/4 almond milk heated in the microwave, and then 1/4 boiling water, and then dark chocolate, hot chocolate, because I can't have milk chocolate. And then I put a dash of cinnamon on it, but more than like, you know, they show in Once Upon a Time where there's like a little sprinkling on the whipped cream. No, no. You like, you got to put a little healthy dose of it on there.
She's like a lot of dash. So yeah, this is a lot of dash. The dairy-free, delicious hot chocolate with cinnamon. So
it's so good.
It's like our very own Onceable recipe for the non-dairy people in the world.
Yeah. Delicious. Dark chocolate, hot chocolate. Way to go.
Yeah. And like, seriously though, almond milk is so good. I could see that working out really well. So, if any listeners out there have any delicious hot cocoa recipes, feel free to send them along, because I'm sure we're going to need them as we freeze here in New England and the Northeast over the next couple of months, because let's face it, winter is finally here, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, moving along from that, until next time, when we talk about the mid-season finale and all of the craziness that is bound to happen next week, send us your theories, thoughts, anything like that. Of course, you can hit up Brittany's posts, which are always fantastic. You can hit us up on Twitter at Once Upon News, and of course, you can leave comments in the post for this podcast. So, until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
I'm Brittany.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.